I was born as a political refugee and stateless. I don't like to be a refugee with injustice and thieves and dictators and regime leaders. The Islamic Republic Iron Force needs to be born in the refugee camp in Iraq. And the Iranian Republic forced me to be refugee and stateless. When I talk to my Danish friends and other friends, they feel that I'm the happiest kid in the whole world.
Thank you. We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. The number you have reached has been disconnected or is no longer in service. Please check the number and try your call again, or contact the operator for further assistance.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. So Billy Bones was the best to face the worst. I hope that's understood, but Billy Bones!
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm busy. I forgot we were on the air until about 5 minutes ago. No, actually, a little before then, but not too much before then. It's crazy. So much going on. We also have out in Signal Land, we have, what is that, Rob T. Firefly?
Good evening.
We have Gila.
Hello.
And it looks like we have Alex.
You do indeed. Good evening.
Okay. It also looks like we have one channel, Kyle. Can you come over and look at this this level here? I'm not sure on the thing I'm pointing to, the thing you're doing. We're having some connectivity issues right there. Okay, now it's fixed because you touched something, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks better now.
All right, good, good. Sorry, folks, high-tech solutions to
as you're saying,
low-tech problems. Anyone have anything interesting they'd like to catch up with? Some things involving the hacker world, technology? Come on, you live lives. Tell us what's going on.
We do live lives. There is actually one thing that we got an email about from a listener. A listener has emailed us letting us know that the first annual PhoneCon is going to be held July 25th to 26th at the Computer Museum at System Source in Hunt Valley, Maryland. And so that's this weekend coming up, Saturday and Sunday. It's the 150th anniversary of the invention of the telephone. And our listener writes, it's long past due that an annual conference be held for telephone collectors, telecom and data professionals, hackers, phone freaks, and telephone enthusiasts of all kinds. And you can get all your info about this at phonecon.org. That's phonecon.org.
So where is this happening?
This is happening at the Computer Museum at System Source in Hunt Valley, Maryland. And it looks like an interesting place and it's on its own. And, the perfect place to be holding something like this.
Wow. So it's the 150th anniversary of the phone. And that would... My math is not up to par. What does that put it? Back in the 1800s, obviously, but when?
1876.
1876. Okay, that sounds familiar. That sounds familiar. So why aren't things going on all throughout the world to herald this event? 150 years of the telephone.
That's an excellent question.
I mean, I think it's probably eclipsed by the 250th anniversary of, I guess, what can be considered the oldest constitutional democracy.
Oh, you're kidding. You're serious. Okay, fine.
Well, I do think it's eclipsed, yeah.
I think most people are just trying to forget the embarrassment that this country has turned into. But whatever. So 150 years of the phone. Unfortunately, not too many people are using phones, at least not like they used to. I just had a landline-to-landline conversation with a friend of mine. And it was really cool. Of course, we're not using copper. We're using, voice over IP and all that nonsense. But it's better than using a cell phone and not being able to understand half the things that are being said or be able to hear the background noise.
Absolutely. There's something to be said for, talking down a wire at somebody. And we get so few opportunities to do such things nowadays.
Uh-huh. Okay, small talk out of the way. Let's look at some news items. By the way, we have Overtime coming on again tonight at 8 o'clock on YouTube, channel 2600. That's how you find us over there. You probably heard this story out of New Jersey. I'm quoting from the New York Times here. Roughly 400 non-citizens cast ballots in New Jersey after about 6,600 residents were improperly registered to vote between June 2023 and June 2024 because of a software error at the Motor Vehicle Commission. That's according to Governor Mikey Sherrill. She announced this yesterday. All the people affected had disclosed that they were not citizens when seeking either a driver's license or an ID, and they were registered anyway. Okay, so everything that Trump was saying is true, right? I mean, that's what we're supposed to get at. I mean, that's the Fox News version of this. So these people come and they say, we are not citizens, and they are forced to vote. I'm trying to process this. Basically, okay, the message is that if there is a software error, anything is possible. And I guess, 6,000 people being registered to vote when they're not eligible to vote, that is possible with bad software, with somebody not doing their job. What's remarkable about this is that very few people comparatively actually used this access they were given improperly. I'm not sure what told the 400 non-citizens to vote. Maybe they were getting reminders in the mail or something. It strikes me as odd that 400 people would just say, hey, you know what, I'm going to try to vote, and hey, look at this, I was able to vote. I don't think it was nefarious like that. I think people were misled. And the other thing to remember here is that this was caught. It took a while, but they caught it, and not only did they catch it, they revealed it. They didn't try to hide it. So there are a few things here that are quite interesting. But one thing that this was not was a plot by immigration activists or whatnot to get people from other countries to vote in our elections. It seems like incompetence once again wins. I don't know, Alex, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is a fascinating story, like most of the stories that we cover that have to deal with idiotic bugs and divisions of responsibilities here. But I think this is pretty simple to realize what happened, right? You go to register for whatever you're doing at Motor Vehicles. Motor Vehicles is basically a great place to register people to vote as well when they're getting licenses, renewing licenses, et cetera, updating the voter rolls. It makes perfect sense. So the software asks somebody if they were a citizen. If they were a citizen, then it's supposed to go on some kind of path that registers them to vote. If you register as no, I'm sorry if there's something going on in the background here. If you say no, that's supposed to be a condition that the software enforces and then pushes you down a different flow. And obviously that didn't happen. Obviously there was a problem between the yes and no answers here. And if you answered no, there was no condition that was enforced and you were still registered over to vote. So then here's where the division of responsibilities becomes an issue to my mind, because That's certainly on the software developer. Whoever developed the software should have tested the logic and done some kind of quality assurance or auditing to make sure that the data flowed in the right ways. And it wasn't flowing in the right ways, especially on these really important questions. So you could argue that they had a duty to do this, they breached it, and that caused this issue. So this was some form of negligence. But also, what about the government people themselves? What about the Department of State where the voter rolls are actually held? They should have some measure of responsibility, or maybe there should have been a division of labor between these two systems such that the Department of State performed some kind of double check to make sure. But I don't know really where or how they would have checked the citizenship of individual people in this respect as well. So I find this story to be one of kind of almost like a comedy of errors here, things that should have been caught extremely easily and have no real downstream effect. I want to pass it over to you guys as well, because I can keep talking about this for another 5 or 10 minutes and have some ways to connect it to some other stories that we had discussed over the last few weeks. So I'm going to pass it over to Rob.
That would be nice. Also, any chance that you could be in a different room than the dog? That would be really, really nice. Go ahead, Rob.
She's going crazy. I apologize.
I mean, personally, I agree with the dog. But the interesting thing about this story is I don't think they've given out details as to actually what went wrong. And do we know for sure that it was the software itself glitching rather than the sort of software error where a person uses the software incorrectly? You know, someone sleepy at a keyboard types Tuttle instead of Buttle, and all sorts of shenanigans can go down. And so the technology company, which is called Idemia, which sounds like a disease, is saying that it's ultimately the responsibility of the state's Division of Elections to verify all the information transmitted, including the residents' eligibility to vote. So they're passing the blame back to the Board of Elections, and the Board of Elections seem to be pushing it onto the vendor. So for us to really be able to tell more about what happened here, I think would be of great value in this case.
Yeah, the name of the company is Idemia, I-D-E-M-I-A. They're based in Virginia. They have offices all around the world. And they said the state's Division of Elections was ultimately responsible for verifying all information transmitted, including residents' eligibility to vote. And that's not how the state sees it. They believe that the software vendor was responsible for the error and that they're being phased out of use in New Jersey. The mistake was discovered back in 2024 while Philip Murphy was governor, but it was never publicly disclosed. When asked for comment, Mr. Murphy, the former governor, did not reply for emails, calls, or a text message. Yeah, he said not responsive to this at all. Ms. Sherrill was unstinting in her criticism of the way the Murphy administration handled the problem, citing reckless failures. It's unacceptable that the vendor released software with such a glaring error. It's unacceptable that the MVC took a year to get this issue fixed. And it's unacceptable that no one in the previous administration brought this to light, demanded accountability, or took action when it happened years ago. The finding that roughly 400 non-citizens had cast ballots in New Jersey is one of the largest confirmed instances of non-citizens voting in American elections, but it remains an exceptionally small percentage of the overall vote total. And it seems more like incompetence and misinformation than malice, at least at this particular stage. If those 400 non-citizens had all voted in the state's local elections in 2023, they would constitute just 0.02% of the electorate. If they voted in the 2024 presidential election, those 400 non-citizens would make up about 0.009% of the state's overall vote totals. It's a tiny number, but it is something quite important, because this is what it's all about. Who is eligible to vote? Who is not eligible to vote? The White House is seizing upon this. Democrats and their media allies have repeatedly said it is impossible for non-citizens to register to vote, let alone cast a ballot, said White House spokeswoman Abigail Jackson. American voters deserve to have confidence that our elections are safe and secure. Okay, but Abigail, here's the thing. You know, if somebody just basically fills out a form and fills it out wrong, and they have the authority to file that form as an official document, what do you do? How do you prevent that? It's incompetence. It's incompetence. It's been revealed. It's being dealt with. I'm not sure how the Save America Act would have prevented any of this. It's it makes no sense to me. Alex, go ahead.
I think, you know, they're totally wrong in that assumption. I think there are other ways to connect this to other Trump initiatives, but to stick on that point for just a moment, it's so clear that the non-citizens who accidentally gained the right to vote through somebody else's error had no intention of gaining the right to vote. And I thought you brought up a really excellent point. It's a rare thing that when it happens, Emmanuel, but, you know, you got to call it out when it does. And, did these people receive any literature in the mail basically suggesting that they vote or even just, you know, operating under the assumption that they are registered to vote and therefore eligible to vote, and that's why these people voted? I mean, and the voter rolls are, of course, very often used for these types of political mailings. So I wouldn't be surprised at all. In fact, I'd probably be surprised if they didn't receive literature in the mail suggesting that they go out and vote. So whose fault is that? But I think there's a better way to connect this, though, to some Trump administration initiatives, because what this story reminded me of is what we were discussing last week or the week before, and it's that you know, this reminder that government software and civic software, it's not just like one app that works seamlessly, right? There's this whole stack of interdependent, essentially failures, just waiting for one bad assumption to be made about a logic gate. And this is why this whole idea of the National Design Studio that we were talking about last week or the week before is so totally insane. This National Design Studio that Trump wants to redesign everything in some kind of sleek, modern, you know, new HTML, CSS style sheet or whatever the hell it is at this point for all of the .gov top-level domain, it just shows you why that's a total disaster waiting for, somebody to do something just like this, right? You are just essentially redecorating a disaster waiting to happen.
Go ahead, Gayla.
I think the other thing that I was thinking of, and Alex, absolutely, it's not like these 400 people, you know, with malice aforethought attempted to register to vote, because I think that's what they're trying to say is the SAVE Act, right? That marauding non-citizens are trying to vote for all our elections. Come on. But IDEMIA, I knew I'd heard of them before. Apparently, they're a massive multinational biometrics organization, and I interacted with their products last week because I was flying, and I have TSA PreCheck, and IDEMIA runs the company that runs the facial recognition for TSA PreCheck.
Vouloir m'éloigner de tout ce qui nous fut commun. J'ai beau vouloir oublier pourquoi j'ai tant de chagrin. Autour de moi un air n'importe quoi, tout, oh oui, tout me ramène à mm. depuis toujours qu'aucun amour ne finit bien.
Iemand dood dan iemand die leeft in een.
En een vieze
en via een rechtbank in zijn gelijk gesteld kan worden.
Nee, hij moest op 144 punten moest hij toegeven.
Nou ja, of niet?
Hij dus, nee, maar de dingen zei, die verdediger,
yeah.
Die zei: nou, je kan beter maar toegeven. Want,
ja,
want anders dan. Je gaat het, ze zullen nooit toegeven. Of je had het al lang allemaal willen aanspreken. Die tape zou je eens een keer moeten luisteren. Heeft hij allemaal op tape gezet, hè? Al die gesprekken. Wat is allemaal met hem geflikt?
Hetzelfde als wat Pink Floyd doet.
Where did I get the name Bambi? My mom used to tell me that when I was a kid. Where did I get the name Bambi? My mom used to tell me that when I was a kid. Check.